Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. What is your idea of the ideal body? Mine has always been the Herculean physique depicted in the sword and sandal films that were popular during my childhood. This heroic template was in turn inspired by the Greco-Roman statuary that depicted my Olympian ancestors. Both cinema and sculpture celebrated the mighty ones of old, the doers of great deeds. I am currently in my 60s and no longer as motivated to tackle the heavy poundages as I once was in my youth. However, I am determined to embody and express my ideal physique to the best of my ability for the remainder of my years. I have recently declared a quest for optimal wellness. You are invited to accompany me on this quest and to share the details of your own journey on our podcasts or in our online groups on Facebook. And today I'm joined by the one and only Ryan Foley, who has been a companion on this quest since it was first declared a few years ago. Greetings, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you this evening?
I'm doing fantastic, and as always, you've selected wonderful topics to discuss. But before we do, I started a new podcast called Myths of the Phoenix, because phoenix have been synchronistically popping up in my life for the past few years. And you're one of the people who, when we first started doing this program, you switched from the Furian strength to the Phoenix protocols. So that was another Phoenix that entered my experience. So can you give us a summary of the Phoenix protocols and what the Phoenix means to you?
Well, so the Phoenix protocols was something that I brought in just because almost from the beginning, whenever I went through and started my journey, I would go through and I would develop certain programs. And so those programs, I gave, you know, different names just so that way, you know, I could kind of differentiate from, you know, whether I was going to do heavy lifting or if I was switching more to, you know, a higher rep range, just to give it a little bit more of some artistic flair. And then, of course, so we go through and so I started my bodybuilding a quest of my own around 2014, in June of 2014. That's where I just finally said, you know, I had had enough. And so I was unhappy with my physical appearance. I was unhappy with my health. And so I wanted to go through and find a way to take control of my own destiny to improve my life. And so what stemmed out from there was a series of really several years where I would go through and it was a constant development where I was trying to go through and try to figure out what the perfect routine would be for myself. So then we come along and, you know, so then we start to get into late 2019. And, you know, so I was rolling along and I felt like I was really strong. I felt like I was, you know, really tapping into something that was improving my life across multiple spectrums. Then we start to get deep into 2019. And, you know, and so it was around December where we start hearing these rumblings out of China because of the coronavirus. And, you know, I don't want to go through it and say that I was a denier, you know, because it was like, well, you know, it's okay. Yeah, it's terrible what's happening to them over there. I think I was like a significant portion of people who were, they didn't anticipate it to become the global pandemic that it was.
Right.
And so then when it began to sweep and then everything started to shut down, you know, and I got caught into a little bit of a panic because working out had become so integral to my life. I was like, oh my goodness. And if, you know, if the gym shut down, what am I going to do? And so I, you know, sprinted out to get, you know, as many, you know, stuff that I could use to work out at home. And then, you know, our business model changed at the place where I work. And, you know, so we were changing up our hours and our whole strategy and all this sort of stuff. And so that was a pretty dark time, not just for me, but for, it felt like for everyone. If that was the one benefit that came from COVID is that it was a shared experience. You know, as a writer myself, you know, I look around it, and so you see a certain amount of tropes that they always use in fiction. And one of the things that they always do is whenever there's a funeral, it's always raining. And I think mm-hmm. they do that for mood and for atmosphere. And so it's, we're all sharing in this misery of, you know, everyone standing by the graveside as the rain is falling down, because it doesn't seem right for the sun to be shining and for kids to be running around playing and flying kites while you're having to go through it and bury a friend. And so I think they do that to draw you in. And so I think it was a thing where, yeah, we had this shared experience. So while it was terrible and people were getting sick, and look, I caught it myself despite my best attempts, you know, to stay away from it, you know, Clorox wiping my grapes whenever we were bringing them home, you know, doing everything we could to stay safe. I masked, I did the vaccine, but still caught it. And so thankfully it wasn't, you know, tremendously terrible for me, but I've got a friend of mine who is suffering from long COVID, and, you know, so it was a really terrible time for me. And so while it sounds, I don't want to come across as heartless whenever I'm saying, you know, because there were people that were losing loved ones and, you know,
right.
couldn't work and, you know, servers were out. So it's hard for me to come along and go, oh man, the gym is closed. You know, so I don't want to come across as being unsympathetic, but for me, as we've talked about here on the past, in our past conversations, it's more for me than just, it's not just about my physical health. It's about my mental well-being. It's about my emotional well-being. And whenever I can go in and I can get into the gym, that's where I get centered. That's where I let all my stress go, all the problems that I have in the world. I get to block those out for an hour a day where it's just me, and it's me and the weight, and that's it. And so to me, that is a tremendously centering place. And so then when that is removed from you because you no longer have access to it, you're kind of going through and you're at a loss. And so you're thinking, well, what am I going to do? And so then because of, well, quite frankly, Oklahoma had some pretty lax standards when it came to COVID. We do have the advantage of, we are primarily a rural state. A lot of, and especially in the community that I live in, they're not massive concentrations of people. It's, you know, it's a rural area where I live. The town where I live in, it's a small town called Adair. We're about an hour north of Tulsa, and it's a population of about 800 people. So it's not, you know, tremendously populous by any stretch of the imagination. And a lot of people, you know, live out on farms and things like that. So it wasn't like we were all packed in together, say, in like a New York City. Mm-hmm. So as a result, and then you have to factor in certain, political leanings. And it felt like there was a certain political party that just, you know, wanted to downplay the whole thing. So you could see that it was emblematic amongst the people of the community here. So our standards were a little bit lax. You weren't looked down upon if you didn't wear a mask whenever you went to Walmart. So as a result, we were able to probably open up a little bit earlier than maybe we should have, quite frankly. So once the gyms were opened back up, it was almost like, because I had experienced COVID, and then I took that long rest where you try to work out a little bit at home, but it wasn't the same as that mentality of going to the gym and putting in that good hard work. So that's where I was like, okay, well, I've got to come up with a new strategy, and I think this is going to be like, yeah, so it's I've gone through now where it's an attempt to go through a rebirth. And so since I like to go through and develop my different strategies under different names to separate them and keep them distinct, mm-hmm. Phoenix just seemed, you know, so tremendously apropos. You know, it's that belief that we can rebuild and redefine ourselves. So I think that it was just a perfect marriage. And so that's the reason why I went through and developed my new program to get me back into the shape that I was before we had the collapse.
Understood. And thank you very much for the background info, for the summary, and for the insights that you provided. That really helps put together the jigsaw puzzle that I'm currently wrestling with, a reality-based jigsaw puzzle, not an actual jigsaw puzzle.
Right. Well, yeah, so and so what that rebirth that we're talking about, I do think that kind of dovetails into what is going to be the subject for tonight. And mm-hmm. so since I am a writer and kind of one of the rules that they have in comic books is that every comic book is going to be someone's first comic book. So there's a pretty good chance that someone who's tuning in tonight, this is the first time that they've heard a conversation between you and I. And so just to explain, you know, real quickly, I want people to know where I'm coming from. And okay. I am not a professional by any stretch of the imagination. I am not a doctor. I don't have any sort of formal training as far as being a personal trainer or anything like that. This is just what I have learned since my development, since I started my program, as I mentioned, back in 2014. So I have been doing this for a while. So I kind of feel like I'm not the guy who learned everything by putting his nose into books, although that was part of my, you know, how I've come to all these different conclusions. But a lot of it is just because I've gone through and I've put in the work and I've tried to find what works for me. And that, I think, is probably one of the most difficult parts whenever we're going through and you're starting a new program, is that you have to find out what works for you. And sometimes the best way to do that is to figure out what you don't like. And so it involves a little bit of trial and error where you've got to figure out, okay, I don't like this, or if I do this, it causes me pain. So I want to stay away from this or that exercise. So everyone has to come up with their own program for themselves. I think there are certain tried and true methods that, you know, everyone can build off of, but then you have to go through and build that. So what I like to do is to come on here and talk with you to hopefully expand people's gym IQ. So that way they can start to develop their own personal program. And so for me, as I mentioned, working out for me is not just a physical endeavor. Well, I think that is the part that everyone sees on the exterior. Yeah, if you were uninitiated and you were to look at a gym from the outside looking in, or people have these preconceived notions, or they have these, you know, these ideas, these stereotypes in their minds of what these people are that are going through and working out. And they think it's, you know, they're all these big brawny guys, you know, with 7 foot shoulders that reduces down to these 4 inch jockey shorts. And I'm not saying that those guys aren't out there, but for the most part, most people are just trying to get to a level where they need to maintain, or, you know, they're not necessarily doing all the stuff that's required to be, you know, considered a professional bodybuilder. Yet what they're doing, or what I am doing, is bodybuilding. So it's kind of one of those things where you have to look at, you know, the game of golf. Not everyone that goes out to play a game of golf aspires to play in, I don't know golf enough to know what a big tournament, the Masters. I think that's what the golfers do. I don't think everyone that goes out to play golf is there to, you know, aspire to be, you know, at the Masters. Whereas, you know, so most people, they're just out there to blow off some steam or have some fun and, you know, get some fresh air, that sort of thing. So whenever I say, you know, I'm a bodybuilder, what I mean by that is, so the difference between bodybuilding and just, you know, your basic weight training is that bodybuilding is attempting to build a complete physique. And when I say complete, what I'm talking about is a certain visual aesthetic. This is an aesthetic that's become popularized. I think probably the biggest billboard that was walking around for this has to be Arnold Schwarzenegger, whereas uh-huh. he's the one that helped usher that bodybuilding genre into a national stage. He was one of the first, you know, big, I think, household names, so Schwarzenegger. But then, you know, we're seeing it now with the Marvel heroes and movies like 300, and, you know, where they've gone through and they've transformed these actors into these physical beasts, you know, so they're going through and making these changes. But so in going through and doing that, But again, so what they're doing is bodybuilding. So you're going through, you're trying to build this, you know, this certain aesthetic. And so be that what you will, however you want to call it. Some people call it resistance training or weight training. Some people call it strength training. But essentially what you're doing is you're working out with weights. And so, again, the physical part is what everyone tends to see. But the part that I think a lot of people, that they tend to overlook, I consider it to be that there are four pillars. And if you go through and you build these four pillars, that's what's going to give you an extremely sturdy house. So physical, yes, absolutely. By going through and reading books and doing research, you're going to go through, you're going to build yourself up mentally. By navigating your way through the gym with the other people that are there, you're going to go through, you're going to develop that social pillar as well. But then the fourth one, which I think might be the most important, is the emotional pillar. It is this level of satisfaction. It is this level of emotional strength that you're going through and you're building. And so I know it seems somewhat strange. And again, for the uninitiated, they may be sitting here going, wait a minute, I'm going to feel better emotionally by going through and lifting weights. How does that work? But it is something that is absolutely true because of the chemicals that are released in your brain whenever you're going through and you're working out. So what I found is that much the same way as that crash that we went through during COVID, where we went through and we couldn't work out, sometimes I think that's devastating, but then there is that sly, sinister, that voice in your head that tells you, nah, it's okay. You can go ahead and take the day off. Don't worry about it. And so I think that because it's you're pushing yourself out of your comfort zone whenever you're going through and you're stepping in the gym, and the ego doesn't like that, very much. It wants to keep you happy and safe, and it doesn't want to go through all that physical pain. So what we found is that there are times where they can come along and your motivation can find a way to wane. And so, again, because this is something that I've experienced here within my own life, I can tell you flat out, October was probably one of the worst months that I have had in my training for a variety of reasons. And so this is me sitting down and looking at it and say, okay, so this is what happened, for me. So I think right now, so that time for October for me was extremely busy. I had so much stuff going on. And so whether or not it was me being worn down, so again, the four pillars that I mentioned, we can have things that can go through and they can erode those pillars for us. So it may be just the fact, that we're tired because we've been pushing ourselves for so long. Maybe you've had stuff going on at the office, which is going through and just draining you mentally, hey, we're still dealing with the side effects from COVID. I don't think that we've, tremendously, we haven't made our way through that completely yet. So we can feel those social erosions. I mean, think about it. Let's go back to, we'll use the films or sitcoms, television, whatever. So like one of the tropes that they just love to throw out there is after a guy or a girl has gone through a terrible breakup. And so then you see, they're on the couch and, they've got the Haagen-Dazs, a big, huge container sitting there. They haven't showered in a couple of days because they've gone through and they've had this emotionally draining event. And so I think when we're isolated from the social activities, that's going to go through and that's going to wear us down. For me personally, I was working on getting my most recent book published, so there was the mad scramble to get everything. It's like, okay, here's the date that I'm going to go through and publish this thing. I've got to go through and get everything done, so I'm pouring so much energy into that. So all these things, when they go through, and so whether it's, being emotionally compromised, socially compromised, mentally or even physically compromised, that can go through and that can chew away at your, at your energy levels. And so typically when this happens, one of the first things to go is going to be your working out. And so then we go through man, this is, it's like one of the worst times of the year, in my opinion, just because we're losing daylight. You know, we had the time change that went through. It's getting colder. You know, I mean, here in Oklahoma, we went through and it felt like I was mowing the lawn, you know, a week ago, and then it comes back, and now it's like, oh, man, I need a heavy coat. And I think that that first, you know, freeze that comes through and just punches you in the face after you've been walking around in shorts, you know, for the last 4 or 5 months, and you're like, oh, man, now I got to wear pants, you know, I got to wear this heavy coat. So I think there's just that natural inclination to kind of want to retreat. And then when you become a big baby like me and you're like, oh, man, this cold, I can't take it anymore, I'm putting that electric blanket on the bed.
I find that hard to accept about you. I've known you long enough. You're not a big baby.
Well, but that electric blanket, it is so seductive. And I mean, it sits there and it's just like, no, just stay in this nice little pocket where it's warm. And it's cold out there, man. You don't want to get up. You know, so it's kind of one of those things. It's that comfort. You know, so we've got that in there. And so now let's add on to all this. We are, it's in the span of what, it's like 56 days, we go through and you get Halloween, you get Thanksgiving, you get Christmas, and all these things are all surrounded by food. I mean, you know, great food and then also horrible food, but, you know, but still, it's so good, you know. So you've got all this sort of stuff that's floating around, and so then we go through. So I'm a data guy, and so I made a commitment to myself. In 2022, I said, I'm going to walk cardio. So I do what I call serial killer cardio. This is where I do a slower pace, but I do a steep incline, and I go for a really long time. So it's a thing where it's like I'm not running once around the track, but I'm sure going to walk that mile. You know, so it's more of a slower, steady pace just because it's better for me, and I feel like I can go longer and still have gas in the tank to go through and do my lifting. Whereas if I go through and I spend all my fuel going through and sprinting, I'm not getting as much out of it. So I do my serial killer cardio. So I go through and, you know, and I do all that. So I'm trying to find these ways to go through and stay motivated. And so one of the things I said, okay, so let's in 2022, I want to walk. For my cardio, I want to do 365 miles. That was my goal. And because of the work that I put in, I eclipsed that goal in September.
Wow.
So I went, distance runners are looking at that and going, I did that in 2 months. But for me, going through and still going through and lifting, but so that was my goal. So I hit that in September, and then once that happened, I kind of started to fall off, you know, because I wasn't reaching for that goal that I needed. So this is where, you know, the short-term goals and long-term goals are so important. But because of that, I've got data. And so then I went through and I started looking at the data that I had compiled for October. And I was like, I did not do nearly enough cardio while I was going through and setting all this up. And so I was looking at that data. And so instead, because I was comparing it to months where I had done, you know, some pretty massive amounts of cardio, and I was like, yeah, okay, but wait a minute, I got to start looking at this from a different perspective where I can't go through and beat myself up because I missed, you know, X amount of days. I got to go through and I got to focus on the positive things that I did. And so in going through and coming up with this, I wanted to come up with 9 different tips for your listeners for ways to stay motivated. And I'm not saying that, you know, there's probably very few people that can find a way to implement all 9 of these, but so, you know, we've got a little bit of variety. So that way you can kind of pick and choose for what works best for you. So that's what I've got is 9 different ways, for people to stay motivated in a time where motivation can be a pretty difficult thing.
Well, that's awesome. Let's hear the 9 ways. I'm looking forward to it.
So the first 9, so number 9 in this top 9 list is staying on top of the mountain. You know, it's harder to climb the mountain, I think, than it is to stay on top of it. So I think it's, you can absolutely take time off to recharge. and get your energy back, but you only do it for so long, because if you take too long, then you've fallen off that apex and you've got to start climbing again. So this is where a lot of people will ask and say, you know, so experts are saying, well, so how much should you work out? And right now the data is showing that experts are saying it's about 150 minutes per week is an optimal amount of moderate to intense physical exercise. So 150 minutes a week. So it's kind of a thing where, you know, how much exercise are you really doing? And so I've always stressed that I cannot compare myself to others. I think if I do that, if I compare myself to The Rock or Chris Hemsworth or, you know, any of these other professionals, I'm always going to feel like I'm coming up short. And so, and that can be defeating to someone after a while. So it was kind of one of the things, you know, I still wonder if you line me up next to 99 other men my age, where is my ranking? And so going through and doing the research, they're saying that 1 in 4 Americans don't work out, or, you know, they don't do any physical activity outside of their work. So at the very least, right off the bat, I'm at least ranked 26th out of 100 because I'm working out on a fairly regular basis. But then we go through, you know, your average gym goer, they're only going 2 times a week, maybe 3, you know, so I'm in here and I'm beating myself up because I took Saturday and Sunday off because I had, you know, a lot of stuff going on. But so instead I'm sitting here focusing on those 2 days that I missed when I should be focusing on the 5 days that I went to the gym and got stuff done. So I do think that's where you have to go through and change your focus a little bit. So I think it's important to try to, you know, if you've made it to the top of that mountain, to try to do your best to stay on top of it. And if your workouts kind of fall off a little bit, that's okay. I don't want you to beat yourself up over that, as long as it doesn't become a routine, because, you know, once you can go through and you can start to establish that, you know, it's not going to take that much more to get back into staying on top, which of course, okay, so that's going to lead me into number 8, and that is routine. And so for me, it's getting in a habit, and then once it becomes a habit, it becomes easier to maintain. So there are a lot of people, they live, you know, a pretty hectic lifestyle, so sometimes they don't have the ability to go through it and have an established routine. I'm very lucky that I do. I think the police officers here in town, they don't know me by name, but I think they know me by vehicle, because, you know, I'm within about 5 minutes of having the same schedule every time. Okay, there he is leaving, there he is coming back. You know, so I'm very lucky in that I do have an established routine, which I particularly enjoy. I know some people may say, oh, that's boring, I'd rather have my stuff be different. But for me personally, I like that routine. And so by going through and doing that, I think that sets yourself up for success. And so when I mention this, I promise you I'm not getting political, because I know that's, it tends to be a divisive thing. So this is not a political statement. But on November 2nd, President Joe Biden, he was on the Smartless podcast. And so Biden was talking about how he works out with a trainer who used to be a physical therapist every morning, and he works out from 8 o'clock to 8:45. And so Biden's getting ready to celebrate, I believe it's his 80th birthday, sometime here, either he just has or it's going to happen really soon. But he was talking about how he feels good, you know, so he's going through, he's an 80-year-old man, but yet he's still going through and he's hitting the weights and working with this physical therapist, with a personal trainer. And he said, you know, that there's a difference in his age, you know, because he's getting older, but it is, working out is going to go through and it's going to rewind that clock a little bit. But he did mention that if he lets it go for a week, he feels it. And right. So he said, you know, as he said, he used to be able to go for a week and nothing would change. But if he lets it go, then, yeah, he can go through and feel it. So this is where I think it's important to go through and establish your routine. And so Biden, arguably, here he is. He's the most powerful man in the world. But yet he's still finding that time to go through and work out because I do think that once you start to go through and you're hitting things in the gym, it makes the rest of the day so much easier because you've done all the hard work there in the beginning. But if you go through and you take that time off, again, if it's just a recharge, that's fine. But once you start to feel things starting to shift and you're doing it less and less, it's kind of like the I had a girl tell me one time, it's taking birth control is not hard. It's just really easy to forget. And I think we men probably experience that same with vitamins and things like that, where, yes, it's easy to take them. But
very true.
Yeah, or it's not hard to take them, but it's easy to forget taking them. So
I forget
I think
all the
if you
time
could go through
my vitamins. I forget all the time.
I've
arranged and rearranged them, put them in different spots where I can see them. And still, some days I take them, some days I don't. That's a reality with at least me and vitamins.
So, yeah, but I think going through it and helping establish that routine, that's going to get you in that point where eventually when you don't do it, things kind of start to feel off.
Right.
And so most of these in this list, I think most people are going to find them to be tremendously positive. But I know there are some people who maybe go through it and maybe they thrive a little bit off of that negativity. So for number seven, I'm throwing in one that's just motivated by a hint of negativity, which is the hair of the dog. And so I feel that the longer you are away, when you come back, you're going to start to go through and you're going to put in the same level of work that you used to before you took your break. But the problem is that your body has now gotten a little bit used to taking that break. And so the soreness, and so again, I say this from personal experience, as I took a little bit of that time off and then when I came back to it, man, the soreness was there. So for the people who don't know, this is why it works the way it works. Whenever you go through and you're lifting these weights, what you're actually doing is you're causing these little micro tears in your muscles. And so then as you eat a lot of protein, then when you're resting, when you're doing all stuff like that, that's when your body is going to start to stitch itself back together. And that stitching together to these muscles, that's where it's going to make them bigger. It's going to make them stronger. But in doing that, because you've done all those little micro tears, that's where the soreness comes from. And so as a result, you're going to hurt. And so that if we've all been through it, where if you're going through and you're working out really hard that next day or, you know, the day after, DOMS, D-O-M-S, delayed onset muscle soreness, is a very real thing. And so in order to avoid that, the best thing that you can do is to go through and do a little thing called active recovery. Active recovery is where you're going through, so let's say you had a really, you know, strenuous chest day. One of the best things that you can do is to go through and work your chest out, you know, about half as much at about half the amount of weight, just enough to get some blood flowing in there, that healing blood to get that in there. That's one of the best things that you can do. So it's kind of hair of the dog is my mentality of, hey, if you've got, you know, if, as long as you don't take too long of a, or if you take too long of a break, whenever you come back, that soreness is going to kick in. And so that's going to be discouraging for you to keep coming back time after time after time. So hair of the dog, I'll throw that one in. But so again,
I have to agree that I've developed over the years step up rituals, I guess you can call them. So for instance, if I've had to take a break from physical activity for a while, I'll just start again with Charles Atlas. And I don't have to wait the 12 weeks anymore, you know, to get back in the groove. So as soon as I get back in the groove, I can stop doing the dynamic tension except for warm up and cool down and for muscle control. And when I've laid off my mental exercises for a while, the Silva method will get me there like relatively quickly, where I'm back to where I was. And with spiritual exercises, meditation, just start meditating. And I found that having these step-ups that are not as strenuous as what I normally do lead me into it. And the hill to starting the routine again is not as steep as it was if I hadn't done those things.
To compare your hill analogy, I would compare it to a swimming pool, where it's,
okay,
you know, hey, instead of cannonballing into that deep end, yeah, it might be a good idea. Let's go down here to the shallow end and let's slowly start wading into this, and we'll get ourselves integrated, and then we'll be back to going through and cannonball in a little bit. But yeah, so I do think that you're definitely onto something there as far as, you know, getting yourself back into it. And that's where I think you have to be mentally strong to go through and not beat yourself up knowing, okay, so I wasn't where I was, you know, a couple weeks ago, but I'm going to get there. You know, it's, I have that destination in mind, which is where it goes back to your small-term goals and your long-term goals. And so if you know, hey, I'm going to get there eventually. Yeah. It just, and slowly wade back into it. So slowly climb up that hill or slowly wade back into the pool. Yeah. I think that's a fantastic advice for people. So number six that I would go through on my list here is just mood. And I know it seems counterintuitive, but I do feel better on the days that I work out. And so even though I've been doing this for a variety of years, there are still times where I have to convince myself to go and work out, even though I know I will feel better once I do it. And I think this is, it's about changing our mentality where you become excited to go to the gym. And I do. I'm genuinely excited to go through and, you know, get my exercises in or to learn something new, to try a new lift, all that sort of stuff. So I think it's a thing where a lot of people see the gym as a punishment, maybe, or, you know, something, oh, well, this is something I have to do. I've got to go to the gym. But for me, I'm excited whenever I go up in there. And so I think that's where people just kind of have to change their mentality of, you know, being happy to be at the gym because of the improvement that it's going to do for you.
Yeah, I feel the same way basically once I get back in the groove, joy and euphoria take the place of resistance, and it becomes so fulfilling to just go and do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's, so mood is a big thing. And so whenever I'm going through and I'm, you know, laying out the precepts that I want to come through and share with people on here, I do think sometimes ideas find me. It's a thing where I wasn't really searching for it, but just for whatever reason, you know, this piece of advice from out of nowhere that I wasn't expecting, you know, shows up in my feed. And so someone had advice for how to beat not being in the mood to do it. And so the answer so one of the answers, which would be number five in our list here, would be just get dressed. And so there's an author by the name of Mark Manson. Now, I haven't read this man specifically, but this is where the idea comes from. Manson wrote a book called The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F. And so there are people who may, oh yeah, it's like I've read that guy's book, or yeah, I've seen his titles in the list, but I haven't actually read, you know, the man myself. But so he was talking about procrastination, and basically he said, if you're not in the mood to go jogging, then don't go jogging. But at the very least, do put on your exercise clothes, and then and you can tell yourself, hey, I'll take it off again in 10 minutes later. But more often than not, just those small little actions gets one to take the first step to go jogging anyway. So what he is recommending is just to focus on the small part of the bigger task you need to do, and then you'll follow through doing all of it. And I completely understand what he's talking about here. So I try to go through and I try to remove all the barriers that I have to get me up to the gym in advance. So, for instance, I've been going through and doing this cocktail of powdered protein and then a variety of supplements, be it, you know, creatine or my branched-chain amino acids and then the glutamine. So I'll go through, I'll do all that up in my thermos container, you know, that I take with me to the gym. I make sure to do that up the night before. You know, I'll even go so far as to, you know, set out whatever clothes I'm going to wear. It's okay, I'm going to wear this gear to the gym. I got to make sure, you know, are my gloves washed, you know, all that sort of stuff. So I'm trying to remove all those barriers so as soon as I get up, I can be out the door in 10 minutes. And, you know, we've all had those days where you go up, you get your cardio knocked out, and then you try to go through and you try to do some lifting, and there's just no connection with the iron. You know, it's like you can't get that mind-muscle connection going on. And again, this is where you want to go through and you want to beat yourself up over it. And that's where I just have to tell people, hey, you went in and you tried and it didn't work out. That's okay. There's going to be another workout coming on tomorrow and, you'll get it back then. But I think far too many times we focus on those negatives, but then there's been a variety of times where it's like, man, I've drug out of bed and I'm sore and I'm hurting. And it's kind of the last thing that I want to do is to go up there again. But again, I've got everything all set up. I'm ready to go. And then I end up going up there and I start working out and I end up having some of the best workouts that I've ever had because for whatever reason, I found the motivation. But if I don't go up there, there's 100% chance that I won't have a great workout. But, but if I go through and just put yourself, so just get dressed. So again, going back to the initial advice, number five, just get dressed. And by going through and doing that, you're going to kick that procrastination down the road. But so in going through and doing this, I think one of the biggest things, a way to expand on that is going to be advice number four, which is don't think, do. And so, which means try to eliminate that form of procrastination. So again, I go back to, I've got that electric blanket that is so seductive to want you to stay there in bed. Now, me personally, I do work out in the mornings because it's more conductive to my schedule. It's kind of one of those things. I like to work out in the morning because there's zero chance of something coming along and disrupting my my schedule in the afternoon. But if you're not a morning person, then I certainly wouldn't recommend you going through and trying to become a morning person just so you can work out, because you're setting yourself up for failure. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the biggest things that we have to fight against, because the most tempting thing to do in the morning is to scroll on my phone. What did I miss? Has there been any news? Have I gotten any messages? That sort of stuff. But instead, so no distractions. That's my big thing. Get your butt out of the bed. And so that way you don't have time to think about how warm that bed is. I think it's somewhat ironic that on my iPhone, when the alarm goes off, that snooze button is gigantic, but that stop button is pretty darn small. So it's real easy to go through and hit that snooze button where you've got to kind of hunt for that. Okay, where's the stop button? But I think if you can go through, you can hit that stop button and avoid going through and doing the scrolls, or it's kind of like how, if you're not feeling well and if you lay there and you think, oh man, I think I'm getting sick, then you end up feeling worse. Whereas if you've got to get to work, so you get up because you don't have an alternative. So, hey, I've got to get up, I got to shower. And then you start to feel like, okay, well, I'm actually feeling, better than I thought I would. But so for me, my biggest secret weapon that I have in my arsenal is I have the bladder of a woman that is 9 months pregnant. So usually when I wake up, I have to pee pretty quickly. So for me, just don't lay back down, because if I can go through, just, all right, that's it, we're going through, we're getting the clothes on, then I don't have the time to go through and procrastinate. I don't have the comfort of getting back into that warm bed, which is going to go through and compromise me. So everything that we're doing in here, it leads me into advice number three. So the number three thing is you are building your beach body now. So this is usually, it is not an overnight thing. You see all the, again, let's go back to the writer tropes. It's there's the woman, she's got her 20-year high school reunion coming up, and boy, so she's just killing it on the cardio because she's got to get her body beach ready, for this event. I think people see that all the time, and unfortunately they think that it is a quick fix. And without using dangerous crash diets, which, I don't recommend, it is a slow and steady process. So if we want to go just a little bit negative to coincide with advice number seven about the hair of the dog, so you're going through, you're you're building that beach body now. So it's the hard work that you put in. It's in these months where you're going to be ready. So if you want to think long-term, again, I'm a big advocate of short-term goals and long-term goals. And so I think it's important you have to think long-term. So, you know, think about that whenever you decide, oh, do I really want to take the rest now? Well, because this is going to be the payoff for you farther on down the line. So, which leads me into number two. And the number two piece of advice, again, fun. I know a lot of people that they're way too dour when it comes to fitness, but I like to go through and I like to have fun. And so when I'm up there, whether or not it's, you know, lifting, say, a heavy weight that I haven't been able to lift before, whether or not it's learning a new exercise technique, seeing it and going, oh, okay, this is one that I want to try. I get excited. I get jacked whenever I go through and I find a new technique or, you know, a new concept, and I want to go through and I want to experiment with that. You know, I want to go through and see if I can perform that. So I think you have to have fun. I think you have to see it as an opportunity. It's not something that you go up and you begrudgingly do. It's something that you have to, that you go through and you embrace, because I think that's probably the reason why we see so much of a washout rate when it comes to gyms. And don't kid yourself, that first of the year rush is coming. And I think you're going to see a lot of these people that they go through, they make their New Year's resolution, which I think you can make resolutions at any time. It doesn't have to be at the first of the year. It's a little helpful to do it on that 1-1. Sure, why not? But, you know, so you'll see that flood of people that all come in thinking, yep, this is it. This is the year I'm going to get in shape. But because for whatever reason, they're not embracing it because it's not fun, because all they see is the pain and the sweat, whereas, you know, they're not enjoying themselves. Whereas I take a tremendous amount of joy whenever I'm going through and developing all this. So that's the reason why I've been doing it since 2014. I haven't fallen off, you know, thankfully, except for COVID. And again, in this October. So it's just, you know, I've got to go through and get my mind right. So if you can go through and if you can have it be fun. So,
oh, certainly.
With all this stuff, whether it's, you know, so just a quick recap here. We need to stay on top of the mountain. You can do that by establishing a routine. You're staving off the hair of the dog, you know, by staying on top of that mountain. So that way you're not, you know, walking around sore all the time. You're going through, and you know you're doing this because it's going to improve your mood. It's going to improve your mood, and that's going to improve your performance, be it at work, with your family, you're just in life in general, because you're getting all these great endorphins. So you're going through, and you're developing your lives where you're going to go through, you're going to avoid procrastination. So you're going to get dressed. You're not going to think about it. You're just going to do it. And then you're going to go through, and you're going to work on developing, let's call it a beach body, but at the same time, I want you to develop, you know, that emotional center and that intellectual center and that social center. And we're going to do that by going through and having fun whenever we're going through and we're working out, which leads me to number one. And this is the single most important aspect. And I almost gave this away earlier, and I tried to divert around it as best I could, so that way I didn't ruin number one. And so the number one way to go through and stay motivated is sleep. Sleep is the single most important aspect. And I say this because for a long time there in October, my sleep schedule was so disrupted. I had so much stuff going on, and there were times where I caught myself and I was awake at 3:30 in the morning. And I had these deadlines that I was, you know, thinking about that was, you know, causing me to obsess over. And I was like, no, you've got to go back to sleep because you've got too much stuff to do, you know, to go on. But so sleep is so important, and you don't realize that until that sleep cycle gets disrupted. And so then it started to become like this habit. And so I was like, well, here it is. It's 4:30 in the morning again. And it's too early for me to get up and go to the gym, but yet, you know, even if I go to sleep right now, I'm only going to get, you know, another hour before the alarm goes off. So it was this whole thing. And so again, I'm going through, I'm working on these creative things. Not that that's a bad thing, but I'm so excited to work on them that I'm waking up in the middle of the night and going, okay, well, if I did this, and then if I did that, and let me do this as well. And so it, I couldn't get my mind to turn off. And then as a result, when the alarm would go off, I would be exhausted. I'd hit the stop button and then roll over and go back to sleep because, you know, I had been awake, you know, for 2 hours in the middle of the night. So, you know, the advice that was told to me, anything that you're going through and you're connecting with the ground. So your shoes, your tires on your car, your mattress. These are the things that it's okay to spend a little bit extra money on, you know, so that way you can get that good quality. And so everything is built on quality sleep. And so again, to reference what I said earlier, that soreness that you're going through, when your muscles are building while you sleep. And so if that sleep schedule is disrupted, you're not going to heal nearly as much. Your energy reserves are going to plummet. And the last thing that you want to do is force yourself to go up and work out when you're exhausted and you're oversleeping. And it's just causing just problem after problem. So again, this is where I know sometimes it's a little bit easier said than done. But by pointing, but it may be a scenario where you haven't realized why things are so bad until someone comes along and points it out to you. It's just, you know, man, I'm really tired today, and I got to have a cup of coffee in order to get going, and you know, it's all this sort of stuff. And so it's me coming along and asking you, well, hey, man, how's your sleep going? And if you go, oh, terrible, yeah, I was up, you know, staring at the ceiling at 3:30 last night. Well, bingo, there's part of your there's a major part of your problem right there. So I think by going through and getting that good quality sleep, I think it's just as important as the exercises that you're doing. It's important as the diet that you have. Going through and getting that good quality sleep, that's going to keep your energy levels high. So that way you're not dragging out of bed, you're jumping out of it. And you're like, okay, here we go. Time to start the day. I'm excited. And let's go start it off with a good workout. So I think if you can go through, hopefully that's a fairly comprehensive list for your listeners, and hopefully they can take away some wisdom from that, so that way they can improve their own lives.
Thank you. That was phenomenally thorough and thoughtful, too. A lot to think about there. I have a weird relationship with sleep. I like working on my dreams. I have the dream journal. And I remember several dreams a night, some more than others. Sometimes I'll remember like 15, 20 dreams during the course of a night. So nighttime for me, my body is getting rest, but part of me is awake and adventuring during that time. And it's like having a hologram in Star Trek, you know, one of the holodecks, I think they call them.
Yes.
Yeah, so... So my body
for me
gets
it's almost the opposite.
Okay.
I think whenever I'm hip deep into a creative endeavor, and right now I'm really, really close to announcing, not only announcing, but having it available, this new project that I've been working on. And so I'm working with an artist to get me the final piece that I need. And as soon as he gets that to me, I'm going to be ready to go. So I'm a little bit under the gun right now. So I'm, you know, so I'm pouring over everything I can to get it as fine-tuned as possible before it's time for me to release it out into the world. And I think whenever I'm going through and when I'm at my most creative, I feel like there's nothing left in my subconscious for, you know, for lack of a better term. It's like I've poured all the water out of that, you know, vessel that I can. And so I go to sleep, and that's when the vessel is going through and refilling. So I don't remember any of that. It's very difficult for me unless it's just extremely vivid. Unfortunately, I don't remember a tremendous amount of my dreams. I wish I could, because I bet I come up with some really cool stuff. But yeah, just for whatever reason, I don't tend to remember, or it becomes like gossamer. You know, as soon as I wake up, I lose it within that, you know, that first couple of waking minutes. I forget what the dream was. I know it was cool, but I can't remember what it was.
That happens even if you've been working with dreams every day. That happens fairly often. It's like working out with your body. If you work out with your mind too, or your subconscious, just don't give up and keep going and have your goals in mind. You know, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to become lucid? Are you trying to get inspired? If you know what you're doing there, you're more likely to accomplish it than if you're just working with dreams nilly-willy. And yes, you're very creative. I can't wait to find out about your new project. I love all your old projects. And for those who don't know, Ryan is my favorite graphic novelist in regards to Greek mythology. He really puts himself in there into the characters. And unfortunately, the series was discontinued, but he was building an entire world, and it was awesome to behold.
Well, I thank you for that. It's not bad. How can I put this? It's difficult for me to accept praise, just because I think, like all artists, we kind of want to go through. We're not certain if our work is reaching the masses, because we work in a void so much, and then you just have to release it out into the world, and you hope that it connects with your readers, but you never really know if it will. And so it is this nagging doubt that sits on every creative person's shoulder. You know, will they like this? You know, whether it's writing or art or painting or songs, whatever. So you honor me, basically, by what you've said there. And I think the fact that I'm stammering over my words here, I don't know how to properly articulate it, but I know we're getting ready to come up here to the end of the time, and I put just a little note here on my list. Just, I wanted to make sure to tell you Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, because I'm so thankful for you, Hercules. You know, you've given me a venue here to talk about my art, and hopefully our conversations here are going to radiate out and find the person that it needs to find. And so I've always said I'm not tremendously special. I just have a tremendous amount of heart and desire. I'm not physically gifted. I'm not genetically gifted to go through and be, you know, the championship level. But for me, I'll work harder. I'll work harder than the other guy because I don't have those physical gifts. And so that's what I hope, is that, you know, somewhere out there, there's someone who is maybe, you know, walking down the same path that I was. And so if these conversations that you and I have, if they can go through and inspire just one person, then that is worth the time that I took to sit down here and talk with you. And the fact that you are just, you're offering all these shows to all these different hosts and guests, and you've got so much stuff going on, and it is inspiring to me. And so that's why I just put this little note here at the end, just to say, you know, Happy Thanksgiving. You're an inspiration for me. And I know I'm not alone whenever I say this. And so I'm thankful for our friendship. I'm thankful for you. And so while I know it is that cheesy thing that, you know, moms, you know, all around this Thursday, they're going to say, okay, now let's all go around the table. Let's say what we're thankful for. And all the kids are going to be like, oh, yeah, okay, whatever, Mom. You know, so it's that Norman Rockwellian thing that is, it's cheesy. Yeah, it is. But if I'm going through and if I'm doing my list, man, you know, I'm thankful for you. So, thank you for, you know, granting me this opportunity. And so from the Foley family to the Invictus family, I just want to say thank you and Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Well, Happy Thanksgiving to you. I'm very thankful and grateful for you. And you have fans so that ask me about you, when you're going to be on again. And so you are reaching people out there. And I find you a very special person. You're phenomenally generous with your life journey and what you're learning and what you've learned. And I'm sure a lot of people are thankful for you. I certainly am. And again, thank you for your kind words. They mean a lot.
Absolutely.
Well, be well, my friend, and I will talk to you very soon. Thanks also to all our listeners. Whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you dialed and you're patiently waiting in our queue, or whether you're going to check on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And again, thank you so much, Ryan, for everything.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate it. Thank you.